produced by Caleb Padgett on Finding My Way Radio Channel. Listen live on the internet or by calling toll-free 1-347-850-8560 in the U.S. or for international callers, dial 1-888-201-5313. Toll-free USA, 1-347-850-8560. Toll-free international callers, 1-888-201-5313.
My name is Debbie Keller, and my company is Home and Office Transitions. I provide move management services for individuals and companies. We were looking for a company with high-quality service, integrity, and one that was committed to the same high standards of customer service that we were. And we found all of those in Ewing Moving and Storage.
To a Better Broken radio broadcast. I am your host, Angie West. One of my favorite verses is Psalms 34:18, and it says, "The Lord is nigh unto them that are of a broken heart, and saveth such as be of a contrite spirit." Each program I have shared how your brokenness is a big deal to God. He wants for us to choose Him alone over anything else in our lives. The plans of this show is to continue to build up, to encourage, and to share more testimonials like mine in order to give further help in broken lives. I want to inspire you to know that you can overcome the battles in your life. You can move past your personal brokenness in life, and by sharing my personal testimonies, I teach how I chose to become a better broken. From my personal experiences using scripture from the Bible and asking questions to glean upon, I teach how you too can overcome many battles of brokenness that you might face. After finishing off the last chapter of my book, which is called A Better Broken for Teens, my intention now is to review some of the main points and to turn to those points and turn those points around into the things that we are dealing with right now today in our lives, or to simply share what the Lord places on my heart. As we are still in a worldwide pandemic, we are all experiencing some type of brokenness in our lives, and I'm so thankful that I am not alone. In the introduction of this book, at the very beginning, I've talked about it before, but I wanted to state what it said at the very beginning of the book. I stated, it's plain and simple. Our lives will involve tribulations, and we are all experiencing different types of tribulations in our lives right now. John 16:33 states, these things have I spoken unto you, that in me ye shall have peace. In the world ye shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. And isn't that a wonderful promise from our Lord and Savior? I have overcome the world. Boy, we see so many things happening in the world today that have us questioning things, wondering things, even things that provoke anger, things that provoke people to act unchristlike, things that we probably never dreamed would happen in our country, America, that's happening right now today. I'm so thankful that we have a God that promised us, I have overcome the world. And I'm so thankful that I have the peace in knowing that my Lord Jesus Christ has overcome any battle or trial that we might be facing in our lives right now. I want to go back and emphasize on some things in this introduction chapter to remind us that the Lord has these situations in our life. He holds every thought, every struggle that we have, every trial that we are going through in His hands. And He knows the battles that we are facing. And He has something wonderful in store for us when we come to the end of our road. And I'm going to share some things that the Lord has taught me, and I hope that He will help you also in times of struggling. From job insecurities to many of you that have lost loved ones from this horrible virus or other situations in your life. But I want to focus on a specific verse today. I want to read Romans 5:3-4, which says, and not only so, but we glory in tribulations also, knowing that tribulation worketh patience, and patience experience, and experience hope. This is another one of my favorite verses, because in tribulations in our lives, it's hard to be patient. It's hard to gain experience from those types of tribulations that we might go through. It's hard to even have hope in our tribulations. And I have learned that God is the one that heals us. God is the one that promises us that we have peace in the storms of our lives. He promises us that we're not alone. He's right there with us, constantly guiding us. As I had told my classes when I had taught school, that we all experience some type of tribulation in our life, if not more than one. We all go through things in life. No one is exempt from this. You're not too old and you're not too young to have broken experiences in your life. It's what we do with those trials and broken parts of our lives that make us or break us. And I can't honestly say that I've always done the right thing when it came to trials or battles in my personal life. I'm a sinner just like anybody. Like David. David struggled in so many ways. And I love reading the book of Psalms. I don't read it often enough as I should, but I love reading the Psalms of David and how he cried out to the Lord in distress and how he cried out to the Lord when he fell into sin and how he cried out to the Lord when he was going through some of the deepest, hardest trials in his life. And as we see in Psalms, David had ups and downs of life. One minute David was happy. The next minute David was terrified. Next minute David was happy again. The next minute he was scared for his life. Up and down. And I understand the song now more than any time in my life. God is on the mountain. That's how our trials are. They're like valleys and climbing mountains. Up and down. Our emotions are always up and down. And so in Romans 5, verse 3 through 4, the part where it says, "But we glory in tribulations also." Boy, that's hard, isn't it? It is so hard to glory in our tribulations. I know there are times in my life that I would work so hard not to let the tribulations of my life get me down. I would do what I could to glory in Jesus Christ. I would gain what knowledge I could from that trial in my life, and I would allow for it to help make me a stronger Christian and help make me to realize that I need to trust in Him more. But sadly, I can also say that there's been times in my life where I did not glory in tribulations. Through some of the hardest battles in my life, I learned that it is hard in those times to glory in tribulations. I made the statement to someone the other day that there was a point in time in my life I enjoy singing. I don't really like singing in public, or sometimes I don't even feel comfortable singing in front of my church family, but I do enjoy singing for the Lord so very much, and I enjoy worshiping and praising Him in song. And there's been a couple of times or more in my life where I told the Lord, "Okay, that's it. I'm not singing anymore. I'm not singing for you anymore." And I'm ashamed to say that I said those words, but I did, because of all of the tribulations and trials in my own personal life. And I just sort of gave up on God. I sort of fell out of trusting in Him and reading His Word and gaining His knowledge through every trial in our life. And if you are a pastor's family, you know of some of those trials that I'm speaking of without me saying those trials out loud. But a pastor's family goes through so very much. And at first, I was on fire for the Lord. I allowed for those trials to help me to not get me down, to help me to glean upon Him more. And then later on in life, after the trials kept coming and coming and coming, I fell away from the Lord. And I became very angry. And I did not glory in these tribulations in my life. I did not trust in the Lord Jesus Christ like I should. And the verse, Romans 5, 3 says, "But we glory in tribulations also, knowing that the tribulation worketh patience." I did not have the patience that I had at the very beginning of our ministries. I eventually drifted away from the patience that I so hard tried to work on in different tribulations in our life. And even though I was in the wrong place at that time in my life, I still learned from these experiences that I went through. And so where it says patience, experience, and experience hope, the patience where that turned eventually into impatient still gave me experience. It still, even though I went through some really deep, hard battles and valleys that I personally still fight today, it gave me experience. And so I can praise God and tell you that I'm so thankful, even for the lowest valleys, because if I wouldn't have experienced the tribulations, and if I wouldn't have experienced patience, and then if I wouldn't have experienced at all anything that we've been through, I would not be speaking to you today. I would not be able to share the things that I'm able to share today. I think experience in our ministries and different things that we do for the Lord, whether it's good or whether we turn our backs on God, I think any of those types of experience, we can draw closer to God, and He can give us grace and help to share with others those things that we've experienced. He can give us grace and help to help someone else who might be going through the same things. And so I can say that even though I never planned to turn my back on God, even though I never planned to be angry in the ministry, even though I never planned not having patience, I still have experience. And in that experience, I now have hope. There were times that I did have hope, times that I didn't have hope. I can tell you right now, as I go back in my mind and think about the time that I did not have hope, and that was probably the lowest time in my personal life that I'd ever been in, where I totally said, okay, God, I'm done. In my heart and in my mind, I said, God, I am done. I am finished. I cannot take any more. And so any hope that I had, any patience that I had, any experience at that time that I had, I totally shoved away, and I totally pushed God out of my life. Thank the Lord, I did not fall into deep sin except for personal things that I struggled with. At that moment, I quit praying. I quit reading my Bible like I should. Yeah, a verse might pop up here or there, but I didn't truly meditate on God's Word. I still struggle with that because of falling in that place. And it's truly a battle for me to remember to keep God first in my devotions, in my personal life. And so now that I've overcome, I won't say overcome completely, because Satan tempts and tries us every single day of our lives. And when I totally took my hands off of the dedication that I had for the Lord Jesus Christ, when I totally let that go, and in my heart and in my mind, in person I may have been, it may have looked like I was being what I should be as a Christian, but in my soul, in my heart, in my mind, I was not the child of God that I should have been. And once I realized the sin that I had put myself in, allowed for myself to be, the sinner that I allowed for myself to be, I woke up and I said, okay, Lord, I can't do this on my own. I am putting every trial, every evil thought, every hurt, every battle that Satan throws my way, I am putting it and placing it all in your hands again. And I am going to trust in you to give me the hope and the patience again that I need in dealing with trials in my life. Help me to turn to you, Lord, was my cry. There were times that I could not even pray. All I could say is, help me, Lord. Help me, Lord. I trust in you. Help me. And so in those tribulations and times in my life, I'm still learning to have hope in the Lord Jesus Christ. Are we allowing tribulations to work patience in us as we learn to depend upon the Lord Jesus Christ from more in our personal tribulations? Are we gaining experience so that we can be a blessing to others? Or are we allowing Satan, like I did, to use our trials against us and to make us bitter? Do we have hope in Him as we deal with each and every burden that God has allowed to be placed upon us? Remember, God only allows the trials to be placed in our lives. The trials that we have, He allows. He doesn't give us these trials. He allows for Satan to place these trials in our lives so that we can learn from our trials in life. God allows Satan to have his way in giving burdens in order to test us, to try us, to mold us, and to help us daily renew our brokenness to the Lord Jesus Christ. I know you've heard me say that before, but it's very important that you know and that you learn that it's not God that gives us these trials. He allows for them to happen to teach us some things in life. And so, sharing my personal battles with you is hard. It's not always easy to tell the sins that you've committed in life or the things that you've done wrong in your life. But if my burdens and my battles and the things that I've learned and experienced from my personal burdens and battles, if those things will help someone who is going through some trials in their own personal lives, or who is fixing to go through some trials in their lives, maybe not, you're not there yet, but you're fixing to go through a trial, because you're going to go through trials. You may not have be in a trial right now, but you could be coming into a trial. You could be leaving from a trial. And these things that I share with you, I just simply want to be a blessing and a help. I want to be able to share with you the things that God has taught me in my personal trials. And I'm so thankful that God never leaves us. I'm so thankful that He never turns His back on us, even when we commit the worst sin that you could ever imagine in this world. Guess what? God still loves you. It doesn't matter what sin you've committed in your life. God loves you. And if you choose to become His child, He will be there for you every step of the way. I can boldly say that now. And I can say that I now have hope again because I've turned my battles over to the Lord. And still, when I have a new battle to pop up, I try to turn it over to the Lord immediately instead of letting it fester in my heart and take me back to the place to where I was angry and I was bitter. I don't want to ever go back that direction again, but I easily could, just like you, if I don't trust in the Lord and have hope in Him like I should. And so, no matter what you're going through in your life right now, I pray that you will glean from these things that I have shared with you, and that you too have chosen Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. Look, my friends, we are not far from the Lord Jesus Christ returning again to take His bride. And if you are a child of God, you are who He is coming for. And so I want all of you to know that it's my heart's desire, number one, that if you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, that you choose to follow Him. Make Him Lord of your life. Choose to be a Christian. And then my second desire is that you glean from my personal experiences and learn from those things that I have shared with you. We all will struggle with different types of brokenness. We all need to walk together in these times of our lives. You need to have someone or more than one somebodies to share things that you are struggling with. And it's through the help of my husband, who is a pastor, and it's through the help of very dear friends of mine, other preacher wife friends of mine that have been there for me and helped me. And they've walked together with me in these hard times and prayed for me to become a better broken. And just like I said earlier, I am not there. I have not fully arrived yet, but I don't think any of us ever will fully arrive. Until we get to heaven, our world is going to continue to crumble and fall. But thank the Lord that we have the hope and the faith in Jesus Christ that He will come again someday. And it may be sooner than what we think. I would just like all of you who have hopes and dreams in your lives, I would love to see my children get married. My son is graduating, finally going to get to have his graduation this Saturday, Lord willing. And so I'll get to see him do that, but I have a daughter coming up behind him. And then I would love to see them get married and have children so that I could experience the joy in having grandkids and just watching our family grow. But that may not be the Lord's will for my life, and I have to accept that. Just like you may have goals and ambitions in life that you would like to see happen, but it may not be God's will for us. He may sound the trumpet 5 minutes after I close this program. It's exciting, but then again, because we're human, we start to think about all the things that we didn't get to do or don't get to do. And I myself have to stop and say, whoa, I cannot think like that. I have to remember to live every day to the fullest. And that's what God expects for us to do, whether He comes now or He comes 10 years from now or thousands of years from now. We are to trust in Him and to live every day the best that we can. As I close this program for today, I want to again say a special thank you to the Lifted Authors Radio Network for allowing me to be a part of this wonderful organization. I also wanted to say a special thank you to Kayla Padgett and Tammy Polk, who are my dear friends, and thank you for asking me to be involved in this program. I want to say thank you to my husband and my children for their constant love and support. To my family, extended family, and precious friends that God has blessed me with, thank you all for supporting A Better Broken. Please continue to support and pray for this ministry as we continue to try to be an encouragement to others. Thank you all for your continuous love and support as you listen to me on each program. Again, this has been A Better Broken radio broadcast, and my name is Angie West. Join me every first and third Tuesday at 10:30 a.m. Central Standard Time or 11:30 a.m. Eastern Standard Time on this radio program. Or you can listen on my Facebook page. I still need to update that, but you can listen on my Facebook page, A Better Broken radio broadcast. And if you're interested in my books, they are on Amazon.com under author Angie West. And I also have an Instagram business page titled A Better Broken Books and Jewelry Collection. So you can find me on either one of those three things. And if you have any questions or if you'd like to hear a certain topic spoken about, you can message me and tell me some things that you need help in. Maybe send me a prayer request, and I would be glad to pray for you. And as always, I hope that you have a wonderful and blessed day.
produced by Kayla Padgett on Finding My Way Radio Channel. Listen live on the internet or by calling toll-free 1-347-850-8560 in the U.S. or for international callers, dial 1-888-201-5313. Toll-free USA, 1-347-850-8560. Toll-free international callers, 1-888-201-5313.
My name is Debbie Keller, and my company is Home and Office Transitions. I provide move management services for individuals and companies. We were looking for a company with high quality service, integrity, and one that was committed to the same high standards of customer service that we were. And we found all of those in Ewing Moving and Storage.
Used to do whatever I could just to make you love me. I wouldn't Hello, everyone. Welcome to Speak Up Sis Talk Radio, the show where Christian authors share their stories through their books to inspire you to speak up and share your own story. I'm your host, spiritual life advisor, and author, Angel Charmaine. Today, I have invited author Nicole R. Dudley into the Speak Up Sis space to discuss her book, Purposefully Broken, Discovering Your Purpose in the Brokenness of Your Past. Let me tell you, today we are going to really dig deeply and be transparent, vulnerable, and honest. So join me as I welcome author Nicole Dudley to Speak Up Sis Talk Radio. Welcome to Speak Up Sis Talk Radio, Miss Nicole. How you doing today?
I'm doing good. Thank you for having me.
Oh, you are very welcome. Thank you so much for accepting this last minute call to get it done. So I appreciate you. So before we get started talking about this amazing book of yours, please just share a little bit about who is Nicole Dudley and what you got going on in your life right now.
Well, I am an author, but first of all, I am a child of the Most High God. I am a pharmacy technician instructor. I am a sister, a daughter, a friend, a confidant. I am all of those things in one. I have a passion for pharmacy. I have a passion for teaching my students to succeed and soar. So yeah, that's it.
What made you decide that I need to write this?
Well, actually, when I would be at work, I would just get different women that would come up to me and talk to me, and I would share bits and pieces of my story. And they would tell me, Nicole, you don't look like you went through that. You don't look like you were hurt. You don't look like you were, you know, molested and raped and abused. And I was like, yeah, I do. You know, like, I don't look like what I've been through. And so one night, the Lord just spoke to me and told me that it was time to share my story. And so in his obedience, I began to write, because I knew that the story that I was writing was not only for me, but it was for other women to be healed and let them know that being broken isn't a bad thing. Being broken mean that you're a castaway. And when God does something, he has purpose in all of it. So I wanted women to know that there's divine purpose in your brokenness. Just like you were talking about the biblical stories earlier, when I wrote this book, I thought about Ruth and Naomi. Because in order for Jesus to even enter into the earth, Naomi and Ruth had to be purposefully broken. You know, Elimelech and his sons had to die in order for them to go back to, you know, their homeland, and for her to even be able to glean in the field and meet Boaz, and, you know, Boaz have Jesse and Obed, and then Jesse, and then David. So yeah, so they had to be purposefully broken. So when I wrote that book, I thought about, you know, I thought about that, and I thought about the women that would be encouraged by the story.
That's what's up. In my first book, Speak with Sheep, One Woman, Ten Truths, one of the stories is entitled Pain Plus Passion Equals Purpose. And it kind of goes along the same lines. And whenever I meet women who are like, I don't know what my purpose is, and I just want to know what my purpose is, I don't know. I often will ask them, What is the thing that is the most painful for you to see in this world? What do you have a burden for? What hurts your heart so deeply that you can hardly stand it? Because that is what you're going to be passionate about.
Exactly.
Fixing in other people's lives or
helping other people get through in their lives is usually something that is the burden for other people, but it's usually something that has hurt you really deeply at some point. And at the intersection of your passion and your pain, there's purpose somewhere in there in the brokenness. So I totally understand that concept.
As a, you know, a little girl, I can't remember how old I was. I had to be at least 7 or 8 when I was molested for the first time. And, you know, when people think of molestation, they think of a man or, you know, a young boy. But for me, my molesters were female. So at an early age, it just distorted my whole view of, you know, my identity and my sexuality, you know. And so going through all of those things really took a toll on how I viewed life. And so that started my brokenness, you know. And so trying to discover my sexuality led to me being with man after man after man, trying to piece together and make all these broken pieces fit together when they weren't designed to fit that way. I wasn't created or designed to be molested as a child and then go and break my virginity at 13 years old and, you know, go from here with this man and that man and with a married man and all of these things. It was a downward spiral. But the beauty of Purposefully Broken is to show women that even though I went through all of those valleys, God used all of it. He had a Romans 8:28 moment where he worked it all together for my good. And in all of that, I discovered my purpose. When you're a writer, you relive those moments to put them on paper. And I remember calling my mentor and telling her, this is a lot, you know, just in complete and utter worship with God, because looking back now, you brought me through all of that. You know, I'm so thankful and I'm so grateful. And I actually have a part in the book where I stop and I tell the ladies as I'm sitting here in my living room, you know, I'm thanking God for bringing me out of all of this. And so it really just touches my heart to be able to get this out and get it in the hands of women so that their lives can be changed.
Right. Mm-hmm. In the book, at the beginning, you talk about a really traumatic experience that you went through with having a brain surgery. Did that incident sort of make you feel like, I need to go ahead and get this done now? Did that have something to do, maybe an urgency to get it done, maybe kind of looking at death and experiencing what you were experiencing? Did that sort of light a fire under you to get it done or not?
Well, it was actually the opposite. I remember I was, like you said, I was recovering because I had surgery. And I was sitting up on side of the bed and I was just worshiping the Lord. I was just like, I love you, Lord. I said, I don't understand why I'm going through this, but I am going to trust you. And in me doing that, that's when the Holy Spirit said, it's time for you to tell your story. And I always laugh because everybody's relationship with the Lord is different. So I told him, I said, huh? And so I sat on side of the bed. And I felt it in my spirit again, it's time for you to tell your story. So I was like, okay, if you want me to tell my story, what is my title going to be? And I just felt him drop it in my spirit, Purposefully Broken. And I said, okay. I said, well, who's going to publish the book? And so he led me to all of those things. And it was just like, now write. And so the minute I started writing, and getting ready to, you know, put the application in to the publishing company is when I got sick again. And so I had to go back into the hospital at the beginning of the publication of this book.
Talk to me about how people who know you received what you had to say in Purposefully Broken.
I received a ton of backlash for speaking my truth. I had family members who came out of the woodworks supporting me at first until they read the book. And when they read the book, I was pretty much shunned. Nobody talked to me. They talked about me.
Wow.
I was told to leave the church that I was going to because of certain things that I wrote about in the book. And that affected me too, because I had a man of God tell me that my book was a hate book. He told me that it did not glorify God.
Did you say he called it the hate book?
He said it was a hate book. And he said it did not glorify God. And he said that I pursued or went after all of the men in my book. And he started naming all of the names that I had in my book. Yep. And he told me that I could not sell my books at the church anymore. And it was best for me if I was no longer a member. So I had family coming after me. I had my pastor and my church family coming after me. They deleted me from their Facebook account. And it was,
are you serious?
I'm absolutely serious. A lot of them deleted my me as their friend. And so I really struggled for months after that. I did. I wouldn't say I went into depression, but I struggled.
Right.
I struggled because I looked up to this man, and it almost made me go back to that little girl on the inside of me that was rejected by my dad.
Right.
This man of God, who I really did look at like a father, reject me too.
Wow, this piece of the conversation really reminds me of a part of your book that we talked about before the show started today. And it is in chapter 10, and chapter 10 is titled Exposed. And so when I read this, I totally could relate, as I could relate to much of what you wrote, but this feeling of getting to know the Lord and growing in the things of God and being connected with God's people, and you know, and you know, it's something about church people. At first, they just want to hug you and all this other kind of stuff, and then all of a sudden, that thing changes. And so, I want to share with our listeners just a little piece of chapter 10 entitled Exposed, where I know that maybe you were writing as your sins were being exposed. But when I read this, I read it as those people were being exposed for who they really were.
Mm-hmm.
And I think a lot of times we allow guilt, shame, and self-condemnation to keep us in a place of hiding. But when we allow the light to shine through the crevices of our dark places, then light also illuminates what is in the darkness. Mm-hmm. Not only can you see yourself when the light turns on, but you see everything else that was there with you that you couldn't see before. And that is what I thought about when I saw this. Not only did you sit in a place of saying, okay, I just gotta open up about this thing. When you did, oh my goodness, did you see the roaches come scurrying? Girl, don't get me started. So here, I want to take y'all here. Go ahead.
Mm-hmm. Before you read it, I want to give you a little backdrop to that part.
Go ahead.
So when I was quote unquote exposed, everyone in the church found out about it. So this was back in 2014. So everybody in the church had already knew the quote unquote drama that happened, and the guy was asked to leave. So now you fast forward to 4 years later, it's not like the people didn't already know about it. They knew. He was asked to leave and I stayed. But they didn't know from my point of view. You know, they just know, okay, this happened. But they didn't know any backstory behind it. So I guess he was upset because of the backstory. Because it was almost like that sweeping under the rug spirit. And I'm sick of that spirit, where you just try to sweep things under the rug. And
call it a sweep under the rug spirit?
I sure did. In the name of Jesus, I'm sick of it. So I guess because I brought it back to the forefront, then they mm-hmm. had to, like you said, exposed and see themselves. So yeah, I want to put that little backdrop before you read it.
Oh, that's what's up. That's what's up. So here we go. When I thought that I could not sink any lower into depression, at that moment, I did. I received a phone call a few days later. It was one of my choir members, the same woman who took me to her home and cared for me. She told me that it was out at church and everyone found out that I was at the hospital and that Malcolm and I were sleeping together. I was afraid of being kicked out of the church for what I had done. There was nowhere for me to go and hide. From then on, many people in the church treated me differently. No one wanted to befriend me. Some of the choir members did not want anything to do with me because Malcolm was the one who was asked to leave the church, and that left us without a drummer. Girl, let me tell you, when I read that, I could have just threw my book to the floor.
Mm-hmm.
Because here you are, you know, dealing with the fact that you've been in the church, you're learning to love God and learning to be in that place, and folks are mad with you, not necessarily because you sleeping with this guy, but because now they ain't got no drama. Girl, yeah. You done made us run away to drama.
It was a rough couple of months for the choir after that.
Girl, I said, if that's not exposing true hearts.
Yeah.
Because that was crazy. Honey, 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 honey. So let me ask you this. Since the book, were you able to mend any of those relationships, or were they all just sort of gone to the wayside?
I don't know. They're gone. The setup behind that, I'm glad I'm at a place now where I can laugh, because they ended up bringing the guy back to the church. So he was gone for about 3 years. And they brought him back. And they happened to bring him back when my book was being released. So he was back in his rightful place, back on those drums, when the book was being released. So I think that's what made it worse for them to get rid of me. Because he, to my knowledge, he's still there. So yeah.
When you talk about staying up in your mess.
Yeah.
A lot of people who will hear a conversation like this, which is real, raw, relevant, it's candid, it's what's happening. And people will get offended because all they can hear is, well, my pastor not like that, and our drummer not like that, and we're not like that, and we, you know, and what, and, but that's the whole purpose of purposefully broken, discovering your purpose in the brokenness of your past. That's the whole reason for writing this, is to say, even when you find yourself in these situations where, yes, you may have even walked yourself in a situation, there's not a place in here where you are giving all of these excuses for why you made the decisions that you made. But knowing that all of that can be used for the kingdom of God, to give God glory. All of that can be used and rerouted and circumvented to get you to a place where you are doing what it is that God requires you to do in the kingdom of heaven on earth. Yeah. And so I want to make sure that we're very clear, because I think sometimes people listen to the conversations on Speak Up Sis Talk Radio and it's like, you know, like we just jaw jacking. but these types of authentic conversations are what is necessary. These real, raw, true telling, take all the power back from the enemy conversations are what need to happen in order to help people heal, right? In the body of Christ. Because your story, although we're just like, oh my goodness, I know your story is not the only one like yours.
No. And what I wanted to show in that chapter exposed is I wanted women to know, yeah, I did it and I own up to my mistakes. I own up to what I did. You know, I'm not putting all the blame on the man because all the blame wasn't on him. It was a broken girl inside of me. You know, because I had people ask me, well, why did you even sleep with that married man in the first place? Well, all people see on the outside is that, okay, Nicole, you slept with him. But what people don't know is that for months, this man was, and I looked at him like a big brother. So if you would allow me a few seconds, Angel, I want to, you know, tell this story to clear the air. And so for months, I honestly looked at him like a big brother because I was going to college in another town and I started going to this church. I didn't know anybody in that town. And so everybody literally just took me in like I was their little sister. And he was no exception. So he would come bring groceries to my dorm room. He would tell me to meet him after church because he DJed at a club. So I would meet him after church so he could give me money for the week because everybody was helping me. I didn't look at it like, oh, I wanted to be with him. And so it wasn't until we started, you know, he'll be like, okay, call me, you know, if you ever need to talk. And I'm like, okay, whatever. And so one time after church, I called him about something. And he was like, yeah, I can help you with that. I needed more groceries. That's what it was. I needed more groceries. And so he actually went and grocery shopped for me. And so I was venting to him about a guy that I was dealing with. And he said, you shouldn't have to deal with that kind of stuff. And I was like, yeah, you're right. He was like, you need a real man to take care of you. So then all of a sudden, the conversation started turning south. And so that broken girl on the inside of me kind of like peeked her head out and was like, well, he's kind of cute, you know? I didn't look at him like that before. And so slowly our conversation started turning. They started getting sexual. And I remember I was venting again to him on the phone about this guy that I was dealing with. And he was like, you don't need to deal with that. You need a real man. And honestly, at that point, I told that man, I said, I want to sleep with you. And it came out of my mouth so fast, and it felt like a long pause. And his response to me was, give me your address and I'll be there Monday. That was his response. And when people look at that, they try to attack me for it. But when you look back at it and you look at everything that transpired, I was the one being taken advantage of.
And we call that, if you were a little girl at the time, which you were young, and still a little broken girl on the inside, we call that grooming.
I was 24. I had never been out on my own, so I couldn't see what was going on at the time. Because it's like, you know how people ask you certain questions to kind of get a feel for you?
Right.
And I look now and I'm like, I feel right in that trap. I feel right in there. I did.
Yeah, but that's what predators, and I even hate to use the word because it's such a strong word, but that's exactly what you are when you prey on people who are in vulnerable situations that you know they're in, and you know that they're helping you, you know that they look up to you, you know these things, and then you use your influence to get them to a place where they have no issues with having these illicit relationships. You know, it's grooming, and we see it happen all the time. But listen, there's so much that this book has to offer. There are so many nuggets. The book is chock full of nuggets that people can just glean from and see that, you know, they're not alone in their trauma. They're not alone in their issues, right? That someone else has gone through those things. And as I read your book, I remember thinking, I know this woman. Because I was this woman. I was this woman. And I know for me, when I read books like this, a lot of times it's kind of reaffirming to me that, one, I'm not some kind of alien. Other people understand this. Other people have gone through it too. It gives me a strength to open up my mouth and continue to speak up, right, and share what I need to share. And for many people, I think it will be at the very, very beginning of their healing journey where they may actually be able to realize that, hey, this is happening to me now, I'm living it, and see it through you. Because oftentimes we see somebody else and go, oh, I wouldn't do that. But you're living in it, right? And so maybe someone who's actually living through some of the things that you've already gone through may be able to see themselves and realize how warped their perception is, right, of whatever broken place they're in. So our time here on Speak Up Sis Talk Radio, it's always like not enough time. So I want to encourage every single one of Speak Up Sis Talk Radio listeners to go out and grab this book, Purposefully Broken, Discovering Your Purpose in the Brokenness of Your Past by Ms. Nicole R. Dudley. Nicole, I would like for you to please let the people know where they can get a copy of your book. And you also have something new coming out. And so before we leave, I'd like for you to share what you got going on currently.
Well, to purchase Purposefully Broken, my Facebook handle is Nicole R. Dudley. So there they can find everything they need to know about Purposefully Broken. And like Angel said, I have something exciting happening. I am putting together an anthology. The anthology is all about helping women become secure in singleness by healing from past relationships and childhood trauma. So get ready, ladies. It will be coming out next year. This is for you. This is for your healing, for your deliverance, so that you can be made whole. I have some awesome women who are partnering with me, so I am excited to bring this to you.
That's what's up. Do you have any available slots? Anyone who may be listening to this who's like, listen, I have something to contribute. Are you accepting any more contributing authors, or do you have everybody, all the numbers or all the slots are filled?
I'm most definitely still taking some contributing authors. So sis, if you are out there and you have a story of healing, how you became secure in singleness, look me up on Facebook at Nicole R. Dudley, and I will give you all the information you need.
Excellent, excellent. Well, it has been a pleasure having this conversation with you. We could talk for hours. What you all don't know is that we have already talked for hours. So I appreciate you giving me the opportunity and trusting me with your story to share through Speak Up Sis Talk Radio with my listeners. And do you have any last words for the people, Nicole?
Sis, be encouraged, be uplifted, shine. If you gotta heal, heal. If you gotta cry, cry. We love you, and you all have a nice day. It was wonderful talking to you.
That's what's up. So have a beautiful day, Speak Up Sis Talk Radio listeners. You too, Nicole. I love you all with the love of Jesus. And I'll see you next time on Speak Up Sis Talk Radio. Bye.
Bye.
All right, everyone. We're done for the day. I appreciate your time and ear. I thank you for tuning in to Speak Up Sis Talk Radio, where Christian authors have an opportunity to share their stories to inspire yours. Please visit me online at speakupsis.com. Follow me on Facebook at Speak Up Sis Talk Radio. Instagram at speak.up.sis. Twitter at Speak Up Sis. You can even email if you just like to give feedback on today's show. Email contact at speakupsis.com. Until next time. Have a beautiful day. Be blessed. Bye.
Produced by Kayla Padgett on Finding My Way Radio Channel. Listen live on the internet or by calling toll-free 1-347-850-8560 in the U.S. or for international callers, dial 1-888-201-5313. Toll-free USA 1-347-850-8560. 850-8560. Toll-free international callers. 1-888-201-5313.